This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Odoo, modern management made simple.
I really didn't have a musical community until maybe I was like 17 or 18 years old in Chile, because growing up, it was really more me in my own world, spending time in that kind of wonderment with music, whether it was like Spice Girls or Keith Jarrett or Sui Generis and Charly García.
From Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, one of our How I Made It segments with Francisca Valenzuela, the Chilean-American singer-songwriter, author, and entrepreneur. Francisca Valenzuela's musical identity was shaped in two countries, the United States, where she was born and spent her childhood, and Chile, her family's homeland, where she moved to in her teens. It was there in Santiago, Chile's capital city, that her prolific career as a bilingual pop rocker would begin. Francisca's music career is a testament to Chile's thriving DIY music scene. Her efforts to get the attention of major labels weren't working out, so Francisca cut her teeth performing in small venues and reaching out to local radio stations. Her first album, Muérdete la Lengua, was released in 2007. From there, Francisca found success as a working musician. In 2014, she created her own music label called Fantastic Records, and she toured in the United States, where she continued to build her global fan base. After noticing a lack of women in music festivals around the world, Francisca founded a Latinx feminist community called Ruidosa, which means a noisy woman. Since its inception in 2016, Ruidosa has hosted an annual music and culture festival throughout the Americas. Artists such as Javiera Parra, Jimena Sariñana, and Pussy Riot have played at Ruidosa Fest. And other creatives like Mon Laferte, Lido Pimenta, and Jessica Salgado have spoken at Ruidosa's events and panels. Even during the COVID-19 epidemic, the platform has engaged with its community with online workshops and interviews. Francisca released her fourth studio album, La Fortaleza, in January of 2020. On this episode of our How I Made It series, Francisca talks about her journey from California to Chile, and she takes us on the road that led her to La Fortaleza.
Hi, everybody. My name is Francisca Valenzuela. I'm a Chilean singer-songwriter, performer, and artist. Hope you enjoy life. I was born in California, in San Francisco. My family is bicultural, so I grew up kind of first generation of a Chilean family in the Bay Area. My parents, which are Chilean, were in the States since the 70s, and then they went back to Chile and took us with them naturally in the 90s. I grew up in elementary school until like sixth grade or so in the Bay Area, and then moved to Chile with my family. So we have kind of this multicultural Chile, California, you know, gringo chileno situation. I think that I was really lucky because my family really preserved the Chilean identity and were able to maintain that in the house. So for example, growing up, I remember I learned how to read and write in English first. And I remember I'd call my mom like, mom, and she'd be like, mama. So there was always this this kind of natural yet conscious effort to keep us attached to both cultures. And I think I'm very lucky that I've been able to live a bicultural or multicultural identity, which is something that many people in the US, I think, have. At the time when I moved there, I was confronted with a whole bunch of things that I took for granted in California, which is naturally very diverse, which is very progressive and has so many resources and such a unique history and identity. So going back to Chile, there were all these other issues that I had never even thought about. And there was all these formalities too that I wasn't exposed to, and a lot of religion. So there was a lot of culture clash in many respects, whether in my inability to communicate properly or the more conservative, kind of very antiquated culture in many ways. Language-wise, eventually I began to kind of not only get comfortable with Spanish, but also understand myself in Spanish. Like, for example, I didn't know how to really read in Spanish that well. And then eventually I was like, I got curious about reading in Spanish. I was like, who are the most famous authors in Spanish? Like, who are singer-songwriters in Spanish? That's how I discovered like Shakira, Julieta Venegas, o Eli Guerra, o Cecilia Toussaint. And I began to kind of go down the Napster at the time hole and Google all the different kinds of singers and begin to be interested in the language itself. Poets, I remember I was like into poetry, so I was like, who are the Spanish poets? And found, you know, Benedetti, Alejandra Pizarnik, Cortázar, and all these different voices that I had never discovered. I think I've always had an interest in the arts in general and literature and music and books. I've been very lucky because in my house, that was always very nurtured. Even though my parents and my brothers aren't necessarily in the creative arts or literature or anything like that, they were always validating this interest and seeing it as something that was important and valuable. They'd allow me, whether at 10 or 15, I was like, family, sit down, I have a show to put on. And they'd all be like, okay, here she goes, do your thing. The idea of pursuing music or really switching to music came much later, like I would say in my late teens, because I was always writing and doing stuff with music, and I began to take piano lessons really young. Then when I was in Chile, I did more piano lessons and actually was interested in pursuing classical music at one point because I wanted to be like Keith Jarrett. That was my dream, like an improv jazz pianist. The classical piano thing seemed so daunting and impossible. And I remember this one teacher once was like, you know, there's only one classical pianist per orchestra. It's so difficult. And I was like, oh, I'm never gonna get that spot. On the side, I would write songs for myself and write songs in a very pop format. And only when I began to show it to my friends in high school, they were like, this song really resonates with me. I totally identify. And they'd ask me to sing the song in school or when we get together at people's houses. And it kind of became a thing, kind of like my shtick, that I would write songs, and I would write songs about boys I liked or my friends' stories. And that also was really encouraging. Eventually, music began to take off for me in Chile, performing my own stuff, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years in a certain circuit, because I was performing like in restaurants and jazz bars and all that kind of stuff. And eventually I put together a band. And once that band began to perform and was part of a scene, and I began to put together an album and eventually make a little bit of money off of that, I was like, okay, I think I'm safe and I can, you know, quit college and really commit to this full time. So my first album in Chile called Muerde de la Lengua, which means Bite Your Tongue, came out. We recorded it, I think, in 2005, 2006. I actually recorded it with the generous collaboration of a band in Chile called Los Bunkers, and they kind of godfathered the project and taught me a whole bunch of things. I had never been in a studio before. We'd rehearse and do all this stuff to kind of eventually put together an EP. And that EP I took to multiple radio stations everywhere, to TV, anyone that I thought could listen to it and open an opportunity for these songs to be heard somewhere, I took to. I would go on a daily basis all these places with my songs, and I put together the MySpace and the YouTube and eventually the Facebook and all the platforms that were integral to having an independent project, because I had even gone to labels at the time, the very few ones in the Southern Cone, like Argentina and Chile, and they all said no. So I was like, I can either sit and wait for something or someone to come and pick me up. Just might as well move forward and figure this out because I don't have another option really.
Fui tu joya durante esa época, como cualquier otra lograste combinar misterio y tu mandar.
The first album came out, the first songs began to sound on the radio. This was a process of maybe 2 years or so, and as I was saying, very much artisanal, very much DIY. And then I was performing and finding places to play and kind of begging places to let me perform, and eventually things began to slowly take off. And when that happened, I think I began to feel more comfortable and validated. I think I'm still on that path of self-validation and self-discovery and learning how to listen to myself as an artist and who I am as an artist, truly. It took me a while to really have the self-confidence to be like, okay, yeah, I can be a captain of this boat. I can be the leader of my project. I can understand that there's an artist in me that, you know, deserves to be heard, kind of. And then also began to eventually see, how can I leave Chile? How can I make this a project that has international reach? And that's been kind of the path.
Quiero ser como el agua que te refresca la boca. Yo quiero ser el espacio entre tu piel y tu ropa.
So La Fortaleza, which is the last and most recent album that came out, I think I didn't really have an idea of or a shape of the album previously. It began to come together maybe a year before, like a year in, I want to say, in the sense that I released Tómame, which was the first single. And just when Tómame came out, I began to imagine what this album was speaking to and what photo it was taking of the moment. There's an inherent difference between this album and the previous, just because, of course, the person I am today is not the person I was 5-10 years ago. I would say it's a very confessional and emotional album that speaks to the process of empowerment and power and getting out of the dark place that maybe a lot of us have been through at times. And it's an album that has moments of like self-realization and insecurity. And it's kind of a conversation with myself and also with the world in different dimensions, whether as like a woman, whether it's sex and sensuality, whether it's joy, whether it's giving in to someone else, whether it's getting over a really damaging relationship. I think also, especially for women culturally, we grow up thinking that the hero is someone outside of us, someone that comes and rescues us. I wanted to illustrate that with the concept of héroe. Héroe is a song that talks about the battle that we all may face on a day-to-day basis, whether with ourselves, the world, someone, something specific, and overcoming that battle. My idea with the song and the concept was defining and or re-signifying the idea of who a hero is. And it also speaks to the fact that sometimes our biggest enemy, our biggest villain is ourselves. If we overcome, which we're all capable of, we can also be our own heroes.
Todo lo que ha pasado me ha llevado hasta hoy.
So La Fortaleza, it's almost like a cinematic description about what I imagine, how strength feels like, what it looks like. It's a moment to look at yourself and see who you are and accept that and love that and love all the pieces and the parts. I almost forget sometimes that I wrote that song. You know, I even in the recent months, when things have been hard, my friends are like, Fran, but you got this. You wrote the song. You understand that this is something you can, you know, you can face and you can do. And especially for women and people that have been marginalized, I think not only are many stories and realities made invisible or made to feel invalidated, but I think also we're put into boxes. And I think the idea of truly freeing yourself from whatever chains are holding you back is an invitation that is really powerful. This is a song and this is an album that talks about this personal journey, this personal transformation and strength, but it also talks about how we are strong together.
Así nace Ruidosa, un encuentro que cruza cultura, música, conversación y convivencia en un espacio público y colectivo al cual todos pertenecemos.
Ruidosa is an intersectional, interdisciplinary Latinx feminist festival community and platform. And we, you know, we seek to empower women and marginalized voices and non-binary voices in the creative industries throughout Latin America and the US. And we do that with actual music festivals. Together in 2016. We've been doing festivals and stuff all over the region. We've done stuff in Peru, Argentina, Mexico, here in the States as well. We do workshops, we do conversation panels, talks and seminars, and we also do content and research.
How can there be one girl representing all Mexican girls in Mexican music when there's not one type of woman?
Pues sí, sí he vivido un poco de sexismo y machismo, no solo en la carrera, sino como en el mundo en general.
We have different stories, and I believe that all of our stories should be represented.
We put together the first study on female participation in Latin American music festivals and Latin American award shows and awards, just to kind of put on the table this conversation about the lack of female participation and representation, and just to be able to have identify the problems that are within our industry, whether it has to do with stereotypes, abusive behavior, the lack of participation, and the barriers that to access these opportunities. I think that our region is a very machista region. It's the place where, you know, diversity and especially the multi-dimensions of women aren't really welcome. And I think to break those stereotypes and free, you know, whether it's men, women, and non-binary folks from the constructions of gender and the pressure of gender is really important. Because if something I've seen transversally in all the Ruidosa is that the stories of all these women in all these creative fields have been, you know, no one has been exempt of that. And to also celebrate and connect the network of women in the region and the creative industries has been really important, because that was something that hadn't been mapped out yet.
Hola.
Hola.
Hola. ¿Qué tal, Caliucci? Un gusto.
Igualmente. Gracias por la invitación.
Palmeo la cordillera y el mar.
In a personal note, I think it's been an amazing thing, because I was feeling very alone at the time in the music industry, in the Latin world. And it really also was a response to the desire to make community. And it's been such a beautiful thing to see how many colleagues and creative voices have been generous with their time and have opened up and shared and connected with the whole community, with the platform, and with me as well.
Estrellas al norte.
That was singer-songwriter Francisca Valenzuela. This episode was produced by Oscar de León and Ginny Montalvo and edited by Alejandra Salazar. The Latino USA team includes Andrea López Cruzado, Marta Martínez, Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Victoria Estrada, Reinaldo Leaños Jr., and Julia Rocha. with help from Raul Perez. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau, Julia Caruso, and Leah Shaw Dameron, with help this week from Gabriela Baez. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Maria Skinka. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on social media. Ahí los veo. Bye.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. The Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org. And funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
It's hard with genres, you know, but I would say the main thing is like Latin alternative pop, singer-songwriter, confessional vibes.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, we continue our investigation into the deaths of two babies placed in the same foster home, Joseph Chacon and Draco Ford. And we press for answers from the foster care system.
I just want an answer of how it happened, because you can't go the rest of your life not knowing how.
That's next time on Latino USA.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Odoo, modern management made simple. From PR.